Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to talk about the power of testimony. This is part two of a series that we're looking at, how to strengthen your faith with your testimony, how to strengthen others with your testimony. And so we're going to look at the first reason why you need to give your testimony, why you need to speak your testimony, and let others know about your walk with the Lord. Let others know why you came to know Jesus and what Jesus has done in your life. And so the first reason for that is that it overcomes the evil one. And we look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and it says, this is a vision that the Apostle John had. It says, "Now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him," that is, they overcame the accuser, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Well, they overcame the evil one. This is a future event. This is coming in the days, the last days, I believe, in the time of tribulation. This is a future event. But the accuser of the brethren, who is the devil, the enemy of our souls, the accuser of the brethren, he stands before the Lord. He stands in the courts of heaven, not in the throne room, but in the courts of heaven, and he accuses us day and night before the Lord. He accuses us of our shortcomings. He accuses us of our failures. He accuses us of all the ways that we have let people down, the ways that we have let the Lord down, the ways that we have sinned. And so the accuser is always there to accuse us and to make it seem and make it appear that we cannot live a life that is worthy of the love that God has for us. And beloved, just to give you a word of encouragement here today, if you have voices speaking to you today, and they are accusing voices, and you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you did when you were a teenager or even a young child, you came to know the Lord Jesus, you witnessed that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you testified to that fact, you made that faith declaration, that faith profession to others so that they knew that. But if you still have voices today and the devil is still accusing you, which he will, of all of your failures, of all of your shortcomings, of all of the ways that you have failed to serve the Lord Jesus, or you have come short of your own expectations for yourself, your own desire to serve the Lord, if you've fallen short in many ways, which we all do, when those voices speak to you, when those voices come to you and accuse you of all of your failings, you just speak against those voices in the name of Jesus. You call out those voices, say, "Devil, I'm not going to listen to those accusing voices anymore. I stand on the blood of Jesus. I stand on his love for me and his sacrifice for me." And if you will do that, if you will speak against those voices when the devil accuses you, then you will start to hold your head high. You know, Psalms 3:3 says, "Our God, our Lord, is a shield about us. He's the lifter of our head." And so when that shield is about us, he lifts our head that we cannot have to walk in shame, that we do not have to continue to listen to the accusing voice of the enemy in our life. We do not have to continue to be full of shame and full of regret and full of sorrow for things we've done in the past. And so the accuser of the brethren will be cast down in the future. He has not been cast down yet. He's been cast out of the throne room. He is no longer the anointed cherub standing at the throne of God, but he will in the future be cast down out of heaven. He will be eventually thrown into the lake of fire, and that will be the end of the enemy. That will be the end of Satan. and all things will come to a culmination. In Revelation chapter 20, you can read about it, the great white throne judgment, when the enemy is judged and he will be thrown out of all of God's creation except for the lake of fire, which is the place where he will spend eternity. Well, Revelation 12, verse 11, it says they overcame him. They overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Beloved, some of us, some of you, some already are giving their life for the kingdom. Some are sacrificing their life, their blood, for the kingdom of God. And so if that happens to come to your life at some point in the future, or maybe even today, you may listen to this broadcast. There are some people that are losing their life for the kingdom even today. But if you do not love your life to the death, if you're willing to give your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, then he will exalt you. He will raise you up. You will be seated with him in the heavenly places. And so we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear what the devil can do to us. The scripture says, don't fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy the soul. In other words, fear the Lord God. He is the one who has the judgment. He is the one who makes the final decision about your soul, about your spirit, your eternal destiny. And so he is the one you need to fear. And so they overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross and he shed his blood for you, that was the payment for all eternity. That is the payment for all mankind, every man, woman, and child that walks on this earth. That blood payment was made by Jesus Christ. And if you will accept that payment for your sin, if you will accept that payment for your failures, for everything that you have done wrong, you don't need to walk in shame. You don't need to walk with your head down. You don't need to walk in regret. You just accept that payment and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for taking my sins upon your shoulder, and you went to the cross. And so the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony defeats the enemy, and it will put that enemy down in his rightful place. And you don't need to let that enemy continue to accuse you and continue to bring shame and sorrow and regret into your life. And so I know that some of you, you need that word of encouragement. Some of you, I've ministered in the prison many, many times, and there's many men out there who know Jesus as their Lord, but they still have that spirit of regret, that spirit of shame, and that spirit of guilt with them. And I say to you, if you're listening to me today, if you have that spirit of shame and guilt upon you, just release it and thank the Lord for going to the cross. Thank the Lord for shedding his precious blood for you, that you can have that burden of guilt and that burden of shame lifted off of you once and for all, forever. And it has been done. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. What he was talking about was the payment was finished for every one of our sins. The payment is finished for all eternity. Jesus is not going back to the cross again. He's not going to climb back up on that cross and get on the cross for your sins or for mine. He did it once 2,000 years ago, and he took his precious blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he presented his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven as the payment, the ransom for all of our sins, for all mankind, for all eternity. And you can read about that in Hebrews, the 9th and 10th chapter, how Jesus took his own blood into the Holy of Holies. And so the payment has been made, and you don't need to continue to put him back up on the cross for your sins, beloved. Just accept it and start thanking him and be grateful each and every day that you can walk with your head up, for he is a shield about us. He is the lifter of our head. Well, Hebrews 11:2 tells us that for by it, and they're speaking about faith here, the elders obtained a good testimony. That is, the elders of old obtained a good testimony. So when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you step out in faith and you start to do good works for the kingdom. You start to look for ways that you can serve the Lord. And sometimes you don't even have to look, because God will come looking for you and He will show you ways that you can serve the kingdom. And so when you do serve the kingdom, then you receive a good testimony. Okay, the second reason why we give our testimony, the second reason why testimony is very important, is because it gives strength and encouragement to others. Well, I spoke as one who has been in the prison many, many times. I've preached 2,000 services in the prisons, not just in America, but here in Africa as well. And I've heard many, many different testimonies. I've heard some crazy testimonies like you would not believe, God delivering people out of satanic worship and satanic bondage and all kinds of drug addictions and alcohol addictions and pornography addictions and even murder and rape and all kinds of mayhem. And I can tell you, when you hear all of those testimonies, it gives strength and encouragement to others who are walking in the Lord, who are looking for a walk with the Lord, or maybe they're just curious about a walk with the Lord. But testimony is so powerful to encourage others in their walk with the Lord or in seeking the Lord. And when you give your testimony, beloved, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Tell all the grisly details. If you have somebody that is willing to listen, even write your testimony out. I had a friend that wrote her testimony out and gave it to all of her family members at a family reunion. She passed it out. It was printed on a nice, neat piece of paper, and her testimony was very powerful and became a witness then to all of her cousins and aunts and uncles, people that she would not have time to sit and talk with all individually. But anyway, it was a powerful way to share her testimony and let others know what Jesus had done for her and what Jesus had become in her life. Well, Matthew 12:37, it says, "For by your words you will be justified," or you will be judged, "and by your words you will be condemned." And so when you speak words that give power to Jesus Christ in your life, when you speak words that exalt Jesus Christ in your life and tell others what a strengthening factor and how much your salvation means to you, how much your salvation is to you, and you speak those words to others, why, it gives strength to others. It encourages them in their walk. And also it says here, by your words you will be condemned. And so when you speak words against Christ, you're not gathering for the kingdom, you're scattering. When you speak words against Christ, then by them, those words, you will be condemned. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do you men say that the Son of Man am?" Or in other words, who do you say I am? And in verse 14, they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And he was getting very pointed here in talking to the disciples. He wanted to know who they thought he was. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so, beloved, there is your salvation confession right there. It not only gives encouragement to others, gives strength to others, but also it guarantees your salvation. For with your heart you believe, resulting in righteousness. With your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. Beloved, we're not saved by our good works. I know many of you have done great things in this life, and you will continue to do great things. Many of you have been in the church for many, many years, many decades, and that is wonderful. Maybe your whole life you spent serving the Lord Jesus, but it's not church service that saves us. It's not even going to church that saves us. It's not ritual that saves us or tradition. You're not saved by what your parents did or your grandparents. You're saved by your confession of faith. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of works that any man should boast, not of ourself. And so your faith in Jesus and your confession of faith is what saves you. It's what guarantees your salvation. And so Jesus said to Simon, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Well, beloved, when you have that Holy Spirit start to stir in you that Jesus is Lord, that He is the Son of the living God, then at some point you have to make a confession. Here in Africa, I am ministering to some Muslims on a personal basis, and there are many, many Muslims in this region where I live in Africa, and they have to come to a place of acknowledging Jesus. Many of them know that He is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. They know that. But to come to that place where they have to speak it out publicly is a very, very difficult crossroads for them. If you would put yourself in their place, it's a very difficult crossroads, because they have to come to a place where they are going to be persecuted. They're going to come to a place where if they acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it is going to cost them a great price. It's going to cost them dearly with their relationships with their Muslim families, their mother, their father, maybe their spouse, and even their children. So it is a very, very difficult decision for them. And it's one in the West, especially growing up in the United States, that we don't have to deal with, because growing up in a Christian culture, we don't know the pain and the sacrifice that is made by having to turn our backs on our culture, turn our backs on our family, and acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So it's a very difficult decision for them. It's a place that I wouldn't personally want to be, but for that many of them, they have come to a place where they acknowledge Jesus. Many have, in the crusades that I preach, many have come to know the Lord. And so the decision for them is, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, praise God, that is the confession that Jesus has for us to make, that He will ask each and every person, "Who do you say that I am?" You have to make a decision about Jesus. Who do you say Jesus is? Is He the Son of the living God? Is He the Son who went to the cross and shed His blood for you? Is He the Son who loves you beyond anything that you've ever done, good, bad, or otherwise? Yes, He is that Son, the Son of the living God. Well, the last reason that we give our testimony is it establishes a memorial to our own life. You know, many people, well, just about everybody, I guess, puts a stone up at their grave, and their loved ones put that stone up as a memorial to them so that they can remember their life, because our lives are a fleeting smoke in the wind, you might say, a vapor. The Bible says our lives are like a vapor, or they're like grass that withers, and today it's here, but tomorrow it's gone. And so our lives are very, very short. Our lives many times don't have much impact. Many people live their life and they don't have much impact on their surroundings, on their families or the people that they interact with. And so a memorial to our life is our testimony, that people can remember our life because of our testimony, because of the things that we attest to that have affected us and impacted our life. Well, salvation certainly affects us. Salvation certainly makes an impact on our life. Salvation is the greatest decision, the decision to either accept or reject Jesus. That is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. And so for those of you out there listening today, I hope that you have made that decision. If you have not, get down on your knees, pray, ask the Lord to take your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, repent and turn from your wicked ways and come to the Lord Jesus. Do that today and let me know if you make that decision. You can email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you made that decision. Follow it up with Christian baptism, immersion baptism, and you can rest assured you can walk in the joy of knowing that you are saved for all eternity. Well, a lady who has a memorial spoken about her life in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, the woman with the alabaster vial. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard, and then she broke the flask and poured it on Jesus' head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. In verse 6, "But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me," or a good deed for me. "For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross at this point in his life. He was preparing himself to go to the cross. "She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her," or a testimony to her and a testimony to Jesus. And so he says that this great sacrificial act, this very expensive oil that she broke the flask and anointed him, this very sacrificial act that cost her a great deal of money, will be spoken of as a memorial to her all of the days that the scriptures are spoken about. All of the days, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. And so your testimony becomes a memorial to you. I hope somebody says something good about me after I'm gone, but that's not my primary motivation for sharing the gospel. That's not my primary motivation for being a missionary. I'm not interested in accolades. I'm not interested in having stripes sewn on my shoulder. I've suffered a fair amount by committing to be a missionary, especially in Africa. A lot of intestinal issues, other kinds of sacrifices I've made, leaving my family, leaving my friends. But the issue here is when you serve the Lord and when you give a testimony to what he has done in your life, and I hope, beloved, if you're listening today, that you're doing something for the kingdom, that you're making a sacrifice, that you're making an impact in other people's lives for the kingdom of God. And I hope today that this sacrifice that you're making, this testimony that you have, will be spoken of you as a memorial of your life for all the days, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever your families get together, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if Jesus doesn't come back, all of those in your family who will be coming in the days ahead, that they will speak highly of you, that they will acknowledge you as a believer, one who followed Jesus Christ, one who gathered for the kingdom, one who brought people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, that your testimony helped others find the way, the truth, and the life. And so we thank you, Lord, for our testimonies. I encourage you out there today, if you're listening, to give your testimony. Write it out. Give it. Pass it out to your family. Pass it out to your friends. Maybe speak it at a meeting, a Bible study meeting, or some other types of meetings that you have, for your testimony can change people's lives, and it can bring other people to a knowledge of the Holy One, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We love to bring these broadcasts to you, but we need your support. We need to hear from you. We have ongoing projects in Africa, the orphanage project here in West Kenya, and also we're getting ready to go to Burundi here in about a month to preach a crusade over in Bujumbura, the capital city of Burundi. And so I invite your support. I invite your prayers. If you've never contacted us, please do. The contact information will be coming up here at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.